Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 26th of May, 2022. I'm joined by Carl.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about Amber Heard destroying herself. Very brave. Democrat replacement theory, and also it's the culture, not the guns. So I suppose we should all start off by getting into it. However, announcements first, of course. First announcement being that the Gold Tier Zoom call will be tomorrow. So if you are a Gold Tier member, please do come and join. Tomorrow we do these Zoom calls where we just hang out, ask questions. Everyone gets a 5-minute limit, is usually how we've been doing it now, to try and
maximize. You are going people. To be strict on the 5 minutes, are you not?
I'm going to tell you to shut up if you go too long, because trying to get as much people as possible. As for how else we reform that, we don't know yet, but we'll see.
Just for anyone who's wondering, I actually won't be able to attend this one because I have to go to a funeral tomorrow. So,
there's that. But otherwise, do come and join us tomorrow at 3:30 UK time. Otherwise, let's get into the herd.
Yeah, so Amber Heard appears to have completely destroyed herself in her attempt to countersue Johnny Depp for libel. She's done this because she appears to be a complete bloody liar, and everyone can see it, apart from a very, very narrow selection of very vocal feminists on the internet who find themselves with absolutely no moral support whatsoever. So before we begin this, right, I want to talk about why people are on Johnny Depp's side and why they hate Amber Heard so much. And it's because Amber Heard is setting up her own tragedy, and people love a good drama, Callum. They love it. It's more love than anything. And so I actually have been investigating this and studying this for a while now, and I did a video on lotuseeds.com called The Moral Root of Tragedy. And I think, and many other philosophers have thought, that it's because tragedy is essentially our ability to be empathetic with someone, manifested in a work of art. And this is why Plato wanted it banned, because he was like, well, that's not rational. That's not using your thinky bit, is it? It's like, no, I'm using my heart when I do all of these things. But anyway, I'll go through this in excruciating detail, but I think it's really worth your time and you should really watch it, because then you will understand why the high drama of this case is really grabbing the public, because there is so obviously a hero and obviously a villain, and the villain is a villain of their own making. It's not even a villain who is, you know, one of those sympathetic villains who is like, well, look at the terrible life conditions this person fell into. What did you expect? No.
The Joker.
And that's the essence of a tragedy. It's when the person, the protagonist, chooses a course of action that leads to their self-destruction, and there's no other way they can get out of it. And that's why people are fascinated with this, I think. So anyway, let's begin with just a quick roundup, because this has been a really long case and a lot has come out. We're not going to be able to cover everything. So if there's anything we missed, well, leave us in the comments. And a big shout out to Nick Rakita, who's been doing amazing coverage of this. I've been following a lot of it because it's just fascinating to watch, to be honest. But I think the most important stuff comes from this clip here, where Johnny Depp accuses Amber Heard of throwing a bottle at him, which severs the tip of his finger. And she has a remarkable statement. Let's listen to that.
Amber, I lost a f***ing finger, man. Come on. I had a f***ing a mineral can, a jar, a can of mineral spirits thrown at my nose.
You can please tell people that it was a fair fight and see what the jury and judge think. Tell the world, Johnny. Tell them, Johnny Depp. I'm a victim too of domestic violence, and
yes.
I, you know, it's a fair fight. It sees how many people believe or side with you.
It doesn't matter if it's a fair fight. My ass.
Exactly, because you're a
Right, so that's a clip that Johnny Depp had recorded of her, essentially. And if we can go to the next link, just so you've got the thought. This is just amazing, right? She was a domestic violence ambassador when she said that to Johnny Depp at the time. Tell the world, Johnny, tell them, Johnny Depp, I, Johnny Depp, a man, am a victim too of domestic violence, to see who believes you. You're a man. People won't believe that you're a victim of domestic violence. And so I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing, right? It seems that she's been abusing and gaslighting him from her own admission, frankly. And there's multiple admissions of her doing this. There's no evidence at all, as far as I can see, that Johnny Depp has actually abused her, and we'll get into it. But I just think the thing about this statement, though, this is, I think, really why a large segment of the public are totally unsympathetic to her, because the tone in which she speaks to him in all of the video clips, it's very clear who has the whip hand in the conversation. Who is the person lashing the other person? Johnny Depp seems to be being hounded by her in all of these.
And you can tell that she thinks she has it in every possible domain.
Yes.
Public opinion, in the courts.
Yeah.
No one, I mean no one, is going to believe you, Johnny.
Yes.
And
I mean, that's just a cruel thing to say to anyone, you know, because you're a man and I'm a woman, is what she's saying. And I think this is what's made her a totemic villain for many women, right? Because obviously Johnny Depp, very popular with the ladies. He's a handsome, charming chap. So it's not surprising that he's got lots of female support. But there's also, I think, something that Amber Heard has done, which is to show that she is leveraging women's privilege during this. And a lot of women, I think, can see that, hang on a second, if I were to be abused, I would want people to believe me because I'm a woman. And, you know, it's very real possibility that I could be abused. There'd be physically nothing I could do about it. And if the public aren't sympathetic to this, if the people listening aren't going to believe my testimony, then I'm trapped in a position with no recourse, right? There's nothing I can do. It's a worrying thing to have hang over your head, I would have assumed, as a woman. And so I can see why a lot of women are like, hang on a second, she's leveraging this sort of special consideration that women have, and she's obviously lying, and she's obviously the abuser.
She's weaponizing that special privilege.
Exactly. And illegitimately weaponizing that special privilege. And I think that is what's at the root of so many women. And honestly, like my wife, like Pete's wife, like every woman I know hates Amber Heard. You know, they're not, it's not even that they're particular fans of Johnny Depp. It's that they hate Amber Heard. And I think she's become totemic for women going, no, 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 you're not getting away with this because you're going to ruin it for everyone. And you've covered this, the death of Me Too, previously, haven't you? Because, you know, believe all women, well, why would you? Why would you? Anyway, so what I find interesting is that Depp's exes have come to his defense in this libel case. Now, I mean, how many people can say that they've had breakups in relationships where years afterwards the people you've broken up with would come forward and say, no, you was lovely, what are you talking about? But a lot of people's breakups are quite messy and emotionally painful, and so, you separate and sever connections and stuff like that. You know, and so the fact that he's had not one but like two ex-wives come out and say no,
this is wives as well.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Vanessa Paradis was. I don't know if they were actually married, but they were together 14 years.
That's good enough.
Hollywood relationship. But she's saying, I've known Johnny over all these years to be kind, attentive, generous, and a non-violent person and father. He was never violent or abusive. And Winona Ryder also said, I cannot wrap my head around Heard's accusations. He was never, never violent towards me. He was never, never abusive at all towards me. And so there we go, right? So that's a really interesting statement. And Amber Heard herself, on the stand, admitted to abusing Johnny Depp, right? She actually said it, right? So when she's Business Insiders, or just Insiders reporting here, right? So she made a massive blunder, a massive and colossal blunder. As they say, Amber Heard may have tried to taint the jury with a rumor about Johnny Depp shoving Kate Moss down the stairs. He also dated Kate Moss, by the way. Experts say it could backfire on her. Before Amber Heard stepped down from the witness stand for a week-long break, she talked about an explosive fight with Johnny Depp after she discovered text messages that led her to believe he was being unfaithful. Oh, the irony. I'm not covering the fact that she's been caught having affairs with, what is it, James Franco and Elon Musk while she was with Johnny Depp. I mean, I'm not covering that because it didn't seem relevant. But the bloody irony of that, right? But Heard said that she had swung at Depp during a fight because Depp was punching at her sister, who was standing on top of a staircase. She says, quote, I don't hesitate, I don't wait. I instantly think of Kate Moss and the stairs, and I swung at him. In all of my relationship to date with Johnny, I hadn't landed a blow, and I, for the first time, hit him, like actually hit him, square in the face. He didn't push my sister down the stairs. So here, Amber Heard has admitted to striking Johnny Depp.
This was an, I believe, defense to the tape being played of her saying, I did not hit you. Okay, I was effing hitting you.
Yes.
Right. There was so that why'd you do well. That? She's like, oh, it's because I'm a hero who was trying to save Kate Moss.
Yes. The worst they have on Johnny Depp, as far as I can tell, is him slamming some cabinets, but we'll get to that in a minute. And so, as they say, so what does that mean with Kate Moss? Well, Heard appeared to be referring to an unverified rumor that Depp once pushed Moss down the stairs when they were dating during the 1990s, but Kate Moss has never accused him of this, and she seems to have spoken fondly of him after they'd broken up.
So did she just make this up out of thin air?
Well, it was an unverified rumor, and okay. She assumed that it was true. And the thing is, though, why this is a massive backfire that is going to destroy Amber Heard's case, I think, not that I'm a legal expert or anything, I might be proven wrong, the jury might be like, yeah, Johnny Depp, evil, even though everyone's clearing his name on everything, and she's admitted to everything, you know, I might be wrong. But why I think this is really bad for Amber Heard is that Kate Moss wasn't on the list of witnesses that Depp may call to testify. Now, before the case proceeds, it was agreed that they wouldn't be calling ex-partners as witnesses, and that means you can't reference them. And so her blurting out Kate Moss's name during testimony means that Johnny Depp can actually now call her.
To ask her about that blurting out.
To ask her about that, exactly. As they say, he did reserve the right to call any witnesses identified by Heard, any witnesses necessary for rebuttal or impeachment court record show. And so her legal team, I mean, you could see Depp's legal team, as soon as she said it, he just leaned around and said, yes! And it's like, yep, good, good. She's done this to herself. The absolute arrogance and hubris of the woman. Right. So this is the whole thing. They can't call the exes, and that's bad for Johnny Depp because his exes are all in his favor. And then then Amber Heard opens her big mouth, and by mentioning Moss, they say, and the alleged staircase incident, she may have inadvertently opened the door for fresh evidence to counter her version of events. And Depp's lawyer, Benjamin Chu, was visibly excited when he heard mention Moss. The absolute blunder, because Kate Moss was then called to the stand, which she did via a video link, a Zoom call or something like that. If you can go to the next one. The absolute BTFOing of Amber Heard here. It's just Kate Moss quite dispassionately, just calmly says, and these dated 4 years in 1994 and 1998, and she says, quote, "As I left the room, I slid down the stairs and I hurt my back. And I screamed because I didn't know what happened to me and I was in pain. He came running to help me and carried me to my room and got me medical attention. He never kicked or pushed her throughout the years they spent together," she said. Right. So Amber Heard admits that she was beating Johnny Depp in the face because he saved Kate Moss.
I love how it went from he was the abuser to actually he comes off now not just as someone who was like, oh my God, what happened? He's even a hero. Picks her up, takes care of her. Like, she had to add all that in.
Yes.
It's not really relevant, but it just makes him look better and better.
And there's nothing that she didn't have to do that. You know? But if you can get to the next one. So the memes of this are, of course, staggering, right? This is perfect. What Amber Heard wants you to believe happened between Johnny Depp and Kate Moss and what Kate Moss testified to actually happening. Not hearsay, not rumor. The victim of the event is just saying, no, Johnny Depp was helping me. You're a lunatic, basically, is what is being said. And that's, as I was saying earlier, the worst they seem to have on Johnny Depp is him slamming cabinets, which Amber Heard herself recorded. And when you listen to the video of her, she seems to be, again, trying to direct him, trying to control him by the tone in which she's speaking. If you go to the next one, we've got the video here, and you see she's the one who records this. And she's obviously done something to wind him up. And then she's like,
she tries to hide the camera.
She's trying to hide the camera behind the cup. As you can see, she doesn't want him seeing. But look, you know, so he's angry about something. And she's continually being like, what's wrong, Johnny? Everything was fine, Johnny. It's like, okay. And so he sees the camera, picks it up and like, you know, throws it away or something like that. And she picks the camera up and you can hear an audible heh at the end of it, which is really interesting. And so the question is, how do we have this piece of footage? Well, it was published by Gossip Rag TMZ. And it's like, that's very interesting.
Where did they get it?
Well, we're going to find out because Johnny Depp's legal team were like, oh, well, we can just call the reporter who published it. and bring him up to the stand. And TMZ were like, no, we're going to have an emergency bid to block him from testifying, which the judge was like, no, why would you need that? It's very curious. They filed an emergency motion to ask the judge to block the employee from being called as a witness, and this was refused. Because, according to them, it was the source for the video was, quote, a confidential source, and that the company had promised to ensure confidentiality and would not disclose their name. I can't imagine how they got that video that was recorded by Amber Heard, Amber Heard's phone, in order to make Johnny Depp look like a bad guy. I mean, he slammed some cabinets, Cal.
I know. I mean, he's a cabinet abuser, frankly.
He admitted that.
We will one day find out who handed on that video. I mean,
it's not even going to be a very long time before we find out, because the reporter went on the stand.
Oh.
he was quite excellent. If you can skip it forward just so you can see who the guy is. He was very, very concise in his answers. Straight to the point, no messing around, no ifs or buts or, you know, wavering or anything like that. He was just like, well, this is what happens, and this is how we got someone, he doesn't identify by name, but he says, someone sent us this video, and the questioner says, well, okay, well, how does that go up into your website? It's like, well, we have to get copyright of it. How long does that take? Well, usually about 15 minutes, because whoever sends the video usually owns the video, and therefore we can just negotiate with them and they'll give us permission and then we can use it. And this video went up in about 15 minutes.
So it can't even be Amber's friend because, well, they don't own the video.
She couldn't give them the copyright. That's right.
No.
It has to come from the person who recorded the video, because you automatically get the copyright on the thing if it's your product.
Well, I wouldn't have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for that copyright law.
Yeah. And it seems that she also tipped them off about arriving at LAX with bruises on her face once.
Yeah.
Just really interesting. Now, there's a lot of claims of pictures of bruises that go back and forth. There's a picture of Johnny Depp with a black eye where she apparently struck him. There's pictures of her with apparently bruises on her face. And then there's pictures of her claiming she was assaulted and then the next day being like out in public with no bruises at all, no big puffed up face or anything like that, which you'd expect. I mean, you've seen someone who's had a broken nose, right?
Myself.
Yeah. How does it look? Is it coverable with makeup?
It hurts.
Does it swell up at all?
It's a pain.
Does it swell up?
Yeah.
Is it disfiguring?
Do you have to do this on air?
What? I'm not saying... What?
Like, I've got a broken nose. Well, how's it hurt you?
Well, no, as in, when you break your nose, particularly your nose, or when you've been punched in the face, it swells up.
Yeah.
Because your face is not usually where you get punched. And so what's interesting is that Amber Heard, when asked about this a few weeks ago, the next one, she was like, well, I mean, I use a bruise-covering makeup kit.
Yeah, nah.
This is what I use. And you can see the thing that she's holding up there. This is the particular makeup kit I always carried around with me when Johnny Depp beat me in order to cover up these bruises. And it's like, right, that's very convincing. Hmm. Except Milani Cosmetics can confirm that the palette in question did not launch until December 2017. After they'd broken up.
I was about to say, where's the receipt for the makeup kit then?
There is one, because it didn't exist. It's literally a lie. Again, BTFO'd. And so they say, well, that couldn't have been the case. That must be a lie. And of course, this... Like, I mean, Amber Heard, if you look at her nose, she's got quite a fine nose. Very fine. And so if he'd punched her in the nose and, like, you know, damaged her, I don't think she'd be able to cover it with just a bit of makeup. And the pictures really made it look like it. Look, there's nothing wrong with it. You're obviously, you know, who knows? And I'm not going to say that, you know, that on her face is a makeup bruise or something. I don't know. You know, I'm not an expert, but I have seen...
She does have a huge record of lying, video evidence of her lying, audio evidence of her lying, witness testimony that she's a massive liar, but who knows?
She's also admitted to abusing Johnny Depp. And also she was arrested in 2009 for abusing her then girlfriend in public. Did you know that?
No.
Nah. Yeah. Thanks, TMZ.
the lesbians. Milo was right.
Good to know. Anyway, so apparently, according to law enforcement sources and documents, Amber and Taisia Van Rie, got into an argument on September the 14th, 2009, at the Seattle-Tacoma International Airport. Amber allegedly grabbed and struck Taisia in the arm, which upset her and triggered the arrest. She went to court, got her mugshot taken, but was let off because she's a woman. Not even joking. It seems to be because both women happen to live in California. That's what TMZ say. Okay.
What does that mean?
Yeah. But
the murderer and the murder victim were both in the same state in Minnesota, but it doesn't matter.
But they were both women, so I mean, what are we going to do? We've got nothing. But anyway, this is why the public, I think that Amber Heard is obviously lying. She's obviously an abuser. She seems to have a track record of abusing. And Johnny Depp has not. And he seems to have lots of people speaking out in his defense that he's not an abusive man. And so Amber Heard gets booed whenever she leaves the court. And Johnny Depp gets cheered. Can we play this next video or just like get the audio up just so you can hear it? But there's a group of people like outside across the road because they have to be. And you can hear them yelling, "Tell the truth." Absolutely. This is your tragedy, Amber. You did this to yourself. You did this.
Who's going to believe you, Johnny?
Yeah, exactly. Who's going to believe you, Johnny? You know,
someone should get a big speaker and play that every time she turns up.
I know. It's so awful, though, isn't it? She so thinks she's got all of this sewn up because she's a beautiful woman, and she thinks she's got a bunch of privilege that goes with that. And that, honestly, I think that's why people are going through this.
John, apparently you didn't put it on screen.
Sorry, it's just a bunch of people booing, basically. Amber Heard, loads of people. Obviously, Johnny Depp is cheered when he leaves. But anyway, so won't somebody think of the Amber Heard supporters? What few of them there are.
Yeah, I was going to say, who? Well, Amber and Amber.
The Washington Post managed to identify like three women. One of on Twitter, by the way. These had to be Twitter supporters. One of them was Kylie Putnam, 23, who lives in Fairfax County, and she went down there.
Kylie was like, "No, they're saying boo earns."
Exactly. She went down to the trial and she was like, with a sign that read, "I believe her." It's like, why? Why do you believe her? I want to know.
Did she pay me?
Yeah. Well, no, she doesn't. She's like, "Do I particularly want to do this? No, but this isn't supposed to be fun. Everything about this is just weird and off kilter and bizarre and horrible." It seems to be quite transparent, actually. To be honest. But the point is, she'd often tweet about Heard, and she'd get a lot of people online saying, "Are you a psycho? What's wrong with you?" You know, she got a lot of kickback on Twitter from people being like, "Look, Amber Heard's an obvious liar. Johnny Depp's obviously telling the truth, and he seems to be the victim here. Why are you supporting the abuser?" And she's like, "Oh, it's awful. It's awful." And then another one, Hannah from London, says it's absolutely stratospheric. She estimates that she's blocked more than 10,000 accounts. You get abusive Twitter DMs telling you to kill yourself. A lot of these accounts get banned for being abusive, saying slurs and making violent threats, then create new accounts to harass you. No one made you go on Twitter and defend Amber Heard. But you don't have to do that.
I don't think it's a special right as well. Like, because she's a woman, she shouldn't be, you know, her fans shouldn't be insulted for believing stupid stuff. So I don't know about the Fritzl defenders that were out there. They're like, "Well, Joseph Fritzl did nothing wrong, really. I don't know. I believe him.
Joseph, yeah.
You're going to get people be like, "Well, you a moron?" Like,
but this is my favourite one. Do you remember who Charlotte Proudman is?
No.
A feminist who claimed that she was abused, a lawyer. She was sexually assaulted or something. It was years ago. But they tapped her for a comment. They're vilifying her to the point where victims and survivors watching are thinking, "My God, if they're behaving like that towards Amber Heard, who does have power and is wealthy and famous, how on earth are they going to treat me as an ordinary woman?"
The ordinary women this much of a liar?
I don't think ordinary women should be lumped into the category of manipulative, scheming, vindictive bitches. It's not how the public think of them.
There are some female men's rights activists who would disagree with that statement. But
but we don't agree with them. All women are not manipulative, scheming, vindictive bitches. There are lots of women looking at this thinking, "Maybe I'm a joke. Maybe nobody will believe me." Or maybe they're thinking Amber Heard is a liar like everyone else. And finally, this is just the classic from The Guardian. This has turned into trial by TikTok and we're all the worse for it. Oh, you weren't saying that, were you?
Shut up.
You weren't saying that in every other case when you thought the winds of it were going in your direction. But now it's so obviously the cavalcade against Amber Heard. You're like, "Well, hang on a second. Trial by TikTok's bad, you know." Shut up. Just shut up. No sympathy whatsoever. But anyway, that's Amber Heard getting BTFO'd by her own statements. Love it.
It is glorious.
I know. You love to see it.
We'll move on to Democratic replacement theory. So the Democrats are whining endlessly about the replacement theory, the evil one that Tucker Carlson keeps mentioning that they believe in, and also seem to promote on a daily basis. So we just go through it and talk them out about it. The fact that they are obsessed with their own replacement theory. And to start it off, this is a premium video, the UK demographic trends, fact versus fiction. Because you may remember, this was asked of Keir Starmer back when he first became leader, and he panicked and had no idea what to do.
Well, he completely conceded the point.
Yes, he did.
Of course, everyone has a right to their own homelands, but... It's like, but what, Keir?
He didn't know where to go with that one.
No.
But go and check that out, because that's us going into the discussion that happened in the UK. But in the US, we have this blowing up even more. But we shall start off, if we go to the next one, of Americans are at least noticing what's going on in the UK with our stories. So you have a story here that says, why farming in the UK is predominantly white and what's being done to increase diversity. Great replacement is a conspiracy, says the leftists. Too many farmers are white. Let's replace them, also leftists.
And just to pause on this a second, right? If the argument is... Well, we just want more farmers. The answer is, well, sorry, England is a very ancient and settled land with a very limited amount of land. There is no free land in England that you can just clear out and start settling new farms in. It's not the American frontier. If you wish to have diverse farmers, you are literally going to have to replace the non-diverse ones.
Yeah.
There's just no getting around that.
And also, where does this demand come from?
Yeah.
Leftists just insisting that everyone be brown. Why? I mean, there's no difference, presumably, between the farmer who is white and the farmer who is brown, who do the same farming on the same patch of land. But no, according to the leftists, they must be brown. Why? Well, just makes them feel better.
Where are English farmers supposed to farm, if not in England?
They're just not meant to be farmers,
I mean, they were meant
presumably.
Well, this was something that happened in Kenya. There's a highland area in Kenya that was totally uncultivatable until a bunch of English farmers went there and, you know, had advanced farming techniques. And then in the decolonization process, they were chased out. It just grew back because no one else could farm it. It's like, okay, well, you're not allowed to be farming here, white boy. And it's like, okay, well, where am I meant to farm? England. Oh, you're not allowed to be farming here, white boy. Where the hell am I meant to farm? I guess you're not.
Well, you're not meant to exist, frankly.
It seems to be the message.
The democratic theory about all of this, which is that, well, the whites should just stop existing. And if we go to the next one here, we have the response because people like Tucker and whatnot have been calling that out. Endlessly. And, well, they're pretty mad that they're having to own up to their own actions, which has been that you've endlessly promoted that you want white people to just not exist.
I mean, it is your theory.
There are verified checkmarks who made tweets after Buffalo saying that whiteness is a disease and needs to be wiped out. And Twitter was given a report that went against their terms of service and they decided it didn't. We featured it at the time, saying that if you want to say whiteness is a disease, apparently that's fine in the progressive sphere. That's not even... any kinds of calls to violence in the slightest. So you can see MSNBC, as a leftist outlet, are also quite worried that this is kind of getting pinned on them with the fact of they've been promoting it for years.
Because there are all these clips of them saying things like political power is changing because of a replacement of the voter base.
Yeah. So they decided to call on this guy, who was apparently some professional marketing type, and ask his opinion.
We need to get Edward Bernays in to sell people cigarettes.
How do we sell people our ideology? Because it's that bad. We can't just tell people about it. And in fact, we look like a bunch of lunatics who are trying to replace white people, at least in your own words. So they called on this marketing type, and the marketing type has an opinion, which is just pin it on the Republicans somehow. He doesn't really think that one through, but let's play the clip in which he tries to argue that you should just pin it on them.
This isn't a branding issue. This is a really serious issue. And it's important that people, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, independents alike, whether it's Liz Cheney or other people who are deeply offended by what's happening with this great replacement theory, the question is, what is the best way to push back on this hatred?
You take this heinous platform and you make the Republicans own it. I want to say it again. Make the Republicans own it. Every Republican politician, every Republican candidate, ask them about it. Make it because they can't run from it because it's part of who they are at this point, as disgusting as that is. But make it the Republican replacement theory. Mainstream it because this is the way you have to scare. We don't have the economy on our side as Democrats. So you have to scare the bejesus out of people. The way to scare it is say, you know, this replacement theory, this is not just coming from some dark corner of the web. This is the Republican platform. Make them own it. And Democrats run from this fistfight. I know in the previous segment, Eugene Daniels, we talked about the president not wanting to call out names. Call out Tucker Carlson. Call out the politicians and make them own it. This is a Republican platform. It's the racist Republican replacement theory.
Whoa!
How could nonsense. It be? Like, leftists forever, we need to replace the whites. Okay, well, the Republicans believe in this. No.
Tucker Carlson wants to replace you. It's like, what?
That's not going to sound... What are you, a moron? Like, you're going
build
to...
Build the wall. Oh, that's great replacement theory right there.
Like, ask the Republicans what they think of it. The Republican says, I oppose the left. What do you...
I oppose, like, mass immigration. Like, what you're in favor of great replacement.
No, I'm not. But also then the aspect of him just being a what he was hired to do, which is a cigarette salesman.
And I love it. You've just got to scare them. You got to scare them. That's leftist politics. There we go. You know, can't do anything good or decent. No, we're just going to terrify you.
Right, we destroyed the economy, so try and terrify them.
But trust us, mate. People are already terrified. The food shortage is coming.
What a weird admission, though. Just openly, yeah, we're basically the party of evil.
Yeah, exactly. that's what they're saying.
Right. Yeah. Okay, just put it in an advertising clip, I guess. Let's go take that out. We get the next one. We also have continuations of this. So in Europe, we have people like this guy, an absolute meme, and he is defending the idea that no, the right came up with this idea. As come on, look at the Spectator's front cover when Boris Johnson was editor, and look, they're warning about Europe becoming Islamified.
God, imagine Boris Johnson saying something like that now.
Yeah, except it's also again like this isn't. Something the right demanded, nor were screaming out for. Like, boy, I need more Islam in my 1990s Britain.
I mean, they're not. They're literally saying we don't want this to happen.
Yeah, it's very simple. So the idea that this is a rightist thing is just
the
ridiculous.
Fear of it is a rightist thing. The love of it is a leftist thing.
The fear of the left is a right wing thing. You've got us.
Yeah, checkmate. Yeah,
I don't know what to say. If we go to the next one, we also have the obvious fact of just being like, well, look, in the Middle Ages, this wasn't the case, and now it is the case that Western Europe just has a large Islamic population. So yeah,
The Islamic population got into Southeastern Europe there.
Ancient bloodlines passed down through generations.
It's not
going
to be anything to do with Muslim conquest or anything, is it?
No. If we go to the next one as well, there's also just the statement that, of course, well, come on, the original phrase replacement comes from this gay French socialist. So it's definitely a right wing conspiracy. Wait. it's just L after L after L. Like,
sorry. Just what do you do, right?
should we read about Renard's?
Yeah, go on then. Let's see how conservative he is.
His parents removed him from their will after he revealed he was homosexual. At the age of 21, then a socialist, he participated in pro-LGBT marches during the May 1968 events in Paris, which, 1968, homophobia against that, yeah, all good. Camus was a member of the Socialist Party during the 70s and 80s as well. And then in the 90s, he realized that, hang on a second. What if we can't really have the French Commune if they're not French? So maybe we should worry about that?
I mean, that's a point.
Didn't you know that socialism is haram, according to the Muslims? And yes, it is, which is why the Iranian Revolution was such a glorious event. Frankly, it's just, socialists, work with us to get rid of the Shah. Too bad. Not going to happen now.
Just of all the people to say, look at this right winger.
Yeah, so gay French socialist comes up with the phrase, and leftists say, that's a good idea. Let's carry on doing it. And
they have been literally saying that, haven't they?
Yeah, and then right wingers in the West, well, in the Anglosphere specifically, are like, yeah, the left is promoting this endlessly. There's clips of them saying it. That's a right wing conspiracy theory. That doesn't work. That doesn't make any sense. Like, you're not following the reality there. And if we go to the next one, we also just have the left's autistic spurging after Buffalo, in which they're, again, frantically trying to distance themselves from replacement theory. You have
Fichtelstein?
Yeah, some guy being like, white replacement theory is fascism by a new name.
Okay, well then don't do it.
We'll ban the left.
I mean, I...
If you want us to. If you go to the article itself, he says in here, since Andras Breivik killed 77 people in Norway in 2011, mass murder in the name of white replacement theory has become prevalent. I was like, from the leftist talking points, it's become prevalent. Like, he didn't make that up. Like, he got it from you guys talking. Orban placed white replacement theory at the center stage of ideology, declaring, quote, I see the great European population exchange as a suicidal attempt to replace the lack of Europeans, Christian children, with adults from other civilizations, migrants.
Oh, he must be a gay French socialist as well.
Yes. I mean, his own party has some of them. Do you remember there was the...
I do, yeah.
It was, for people who don't know, there was an MEP in Orban's party who was caught in a gay orgy. But the problem with that was not the gay orgy, of course. It was that he broke lockdown rules, so he had to resign.
Hey, man, you know.
It was haram to have gay orgies, not because of being homosexual.
Hungary's own party, hey.
I also love how, by this guy's standard, Islamists are also fascists, of course, because they're also worried about the fact that if they have mass movements into their countries, then that won't be an Islamist country anymore. So there you have it. Yeah. So he says to normalize something is to legitimize it, to make it a topic of legitimate public disagreement. These public figures normalize white replacement theory. It's like, right, hang on. This is what they're genuinely trying to pull, which is that we promoted this for years, and now it's led to it being in the public discord. It makes us look bad.
But not only have they promoted it, they've facilitated mass immigration as a way of making it happen.
But the same thing with critical race theory in schools, yep, or queer theory, to the point that libs of TikTok just has to show videos of the left and they look ridiculous. Like, here's you guys promoting endlessly that you want to replace white people, or at least saying it publicly, that there's too many white farmers.
I mean, you keep saying
Britain.
It.
And it's Orban that did this. And this is obviously just wrong. If we go to the next few links here, we can see. I mean, you featured this, and I've done, which is just We Can Replace Them by the New York Times, an article in which they talk about replacing white voters in Georgia to get Democrats elected.
Yeah.
This is you guys. Again, this is not Viktor Orban's article.
I mean, you literally called We Can Replace Them.
Yeah. If we go to the next one, we have The Guardian, years ago, being like the last days of the white world. The year 2000, when Viktor Orban was writing for The Guardian, presumably. No, he weren't. No, this is you guys, yet again. If we go to the next one, we have CNN, The Vanishing White American.
Jesus Christ, CNN.
By Viktor Orban.
You sound like you're going to radicalize someone.
It's just pointing out that, for example, in Georgia, you're very happy that the demographics of destiny are now changing. Weird. If we go to the next one, we have White Britons Will Be in Minority by 2066, says Viktor Orban, professor of Oxford University. No, he was not. I love how Viktor Orban, in my mind, now has like six jobs throughout the 2000s.
And he's a bizarre expert on all of this as well. I mean, like, if there's one thing that's happening in Hungary, it's not the replacement of the Hungarians.
No, Hungarian language is still as prevalent as has ever been.
Yes.
It's not being diluted with, non-Hungarian speakers. But anyone who tries to learn Hungarian just can't. If we go to the next one, we also have, of course, the famous clip of Ash Sarkar just saying, "Huh, yeah, they're being replaced in London."
And, I mean, she's literally saying it.
Yes, we're winning lads, was her words in response to, as she put it, replacement.
Yes.
Again, I mean,
she's got 600,000 white British down, 1.2 million ethnic minority population up. How is that not a replacement? London is a concrete, determinate area.
Yeah, I just can't
get
over it.
Literally what a replacement is.
The attempted switcheroo of, like, this is a right-wing theory. What? Why would it be?
And then she literally is like, "We're winning, lads," when she's like, yeah.
Yeah, that is a quote from her.
It's terrible.
We've got the next one here. We also have how is this playing with average people? How do you think this really works, leftists? Like, I know you're trying to try and point out or try and say that this is a right-wing thing, but it's not working, because here's an example of a chap who is very funny, but he decided to go out and just ask random people their opinion on this, and then when they said it was a conspiracy theory, just give them clips of left-wing media. And I thought we'd demonstrate their response, so let's play this.
So is the Great Replacement a conspiracy theory, or is it real?
I think it's just a conspiracy theory. But it's a conspiracy theory, but I can see why a white person would think that.
So let's play this video here.
It seems harder and harder to ignore that the echoes of replacement theory and other racially motivated views are increasingly coming out into the open.
In a few years, we're going to be a majority brown country. White people will not be the majority in the country anymore.
This will be the first generation ever in American history in which whites will be a minority of the generation at some point. As of 2007, every year, babies being born in this country, whites now in the minority.
In 2044, everyone's going to be a minority.
As the demographics change, as white people become the minority in the country, which is coming.
The white population is declining for the first time in history in America, while the number of multiracial Americans have more than doubled.
So we live in a country where the demographics are changing. It's becoming less white. Correct. Okay. You'll be announcing that we're calling the 38 electoral votes of Texas for the Democratic nominee for president. It's changing. It's going to become a purple state and then a blue state because of the demographics, because of the population growth.
Growth in Texas has been almost entirely driven by non-white population growth, mostly by Hispanic and Latino population growth.
No, well, now that, yeah, it's not a conspiracy theory, but it shouldn't, white people should not look at it that way, because I think America is rich enough to be able to
we've moved the boundary.
People of multiple ethnicities.
I don't know what that point was at the end.
That's amazing. No, that's incredible. It's like, no, it's not happening. Oh, okay, but you are rich enough to handle it. It's like, yeah, but why should I have to give you any of my money?
But also, what a weird statement that if you have ethnic minorities, essentially you've got to pay for them.
Yeah, you're going to get poorer, says this woman.
I mean, it's just unbelievably racist as well. She's just like, yeah, well, people like me, we cost you money. You can support that. Okay, right. That's
remarkable.
But I just love her face throughout that. As she, this is how it plays, which is you ask average people the thing and they're like, oh, yeah, it's a conspiracy. They're just like, no, it's just a leftist doctrine. Frankly, it's a leftist strategy for Democratic votes. And so here's the video of them saying it.
Yeah.
I mean,
people
turn Texas purple and then blue demographics.
I'm surprised he didn't have the clip of them saying demographics is destiny.
That wasn't there. It was just too long.
Yeah, it's too long.
But if we go to the next one, we just have Tucker as well, who's also been making this obvious point. So we'll play his clip in which he just, again, just plays Dems in their own words. I mean, it is like critical race theory. It is their own damn doctrine.
Blue wave is African American.
Yeah!
It's white, it's Latino, it's Asian Pacific Islander.
Yes.
It is made up of those who've been told that they are not worthy of being here.
Yes.
It is comprised of those who are documented and undocumented.
In a couple of presidential cycles, you'll be on election night, you'll be announcing that we're calling the 38 electoral votes of Texas for the Democratic nominee for president.
Look at that.
It's changing.
Face.
It's going to become a purple state and then a blue state because of the demographics.
The demographics of America are not on the side of the Republican Party. The new voters in this country are moving away from them. And instead, they're moving to be independents or to even vote on the other side.
An unrelenting stream of immigration. Nonstop. Folks like me who were Caucasian of European descent, for the first time in 2017, will be in an absolute minority in the United States of America. Absolute minority. Fewer than 50% of the people in America from then and on will be white European stock. That's not a bad thing. That's a source of our strength.
That is a terrifying statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the source of our strength. The
source of our strength is getting rid of people like me.
Foreigners flooding your country so they'll vote for us and not you.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. What have we got? We've got a gay French socialist describing a leftist doctrine on how to get votes.
But it's just so cynical. It's so cynical. It treats the population of the country as if they're fungible, as if they can just be. We'll just get a new electorate, which is literally what Tucker Carlson said. That's going to replace you with a new electorate because you're not voting for them.
Because the country means nothing to left wingers.
You mean nothing to them.
But it's just the fabric of the whole thing is so irreplaceable to them because it means they have no connection to it. They have no real value.
Yeah,
of
they
it.
Don't care
whatsoever. And also, I love the fact there was one article, I didn't include it, in which they were like, this proves that not all ideas from a gay Frenchman are good. And it's just like, no ideas from a Frenchman are good. What are you talking about? It's like, anyway, but we'll skip through these. So
we think that all ideas from a gay Frenchman would be great?
An American, apparently, that wrote this and thought that was an acceptable statement.
Just, amazing.
As an Englishman, I was just like, French! But then we have an individual here who has a verified checkmark, pronouns in the bio, Palestinian flag, trans flag, who is able to do things like this. This is what I find amazing, that this has been popping around for, oh God, as long as I can remember in political life. But you see these maps and they're like, oh my God, look, Palestine's been taken over
as she says, there is an actual great replacement.
The Zionist / Israeli controlled, as she puts it there. And there we are, there's the graph, and you can do that, and that's fine. But if we go to the next one, of course, so the next link, this you don't see so much, which it kind of annoyed me, so I thought I'd do it in response to her, as the same concept applied to London. They have it. I mean, just...
The green is 50% or more English, the red is less than 50% English, and the dark red is less than 25% English.
You've got the city of London in the middle there with all the rich boys.
Yes.
Being just the last thing in actual London there. I mean, you've got the outskirts of London still being 50% English, but that's it, really. And, well, frankly, they're only part of London because of the boundaries.
It's mad.
Well. So, yeah, there you have it. There's a map you don't see that often. If we go to the next one here, we can also see articles being put out in response to this, being like, how dare we use science to promote white supremacy from Scientific American.
Data collection.
Yeah, I won't go through this, but essentially they just whine that scientists do research. And that's,
I mean, I whine about that too.
Not acceptable. Do scientists imagine finding that genetic differences in the intelligence of racial groups will be used to drive more school funding to black and brown communities, or is the justification to focus on school funding on white communities? Or will we find that genetic differences in prosperity for violence among racial groups will be used to do anything but double down on current over-policing of communities of color? Like, what's wrong with that? Like, actually, if you wanted to look at who commits crime, and then you found the evidence, and then you could use it to stop crime.
We're going to over-police the criminals, Callum.
Yeah, that's the complaint, the evidence there. I mean, if it turned out that white people were over-committing crime...
Police the hell out of them!
Then you go and police them. It doesn't matter the skin tone. The matter is the amount of crime. But then Scientific American...
Oh, this is one thing that always comes up. So, oh, well, you wouldn't say that if it was a white kid. And like, yeah, I would.
Yeah, we do worse than Asians.
Yeah.
If you take a neighborhood that's all, like, Hong Kongers and white boys, the police need to be in the white boy section. Yeah.
I don't care that they're white. I care that they're committing crimes. Go and deal with them.
Yeah. If we go to the next one as well, we also have some evidence of, well, they're not sending their best, frankly. Wow. And let's play the clip from Voice of Wales here, who are great guys who filmed this.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. What's your name?
My name is Liliana.
Okay. You give me a Snapchat?
Yeah, nice. Sure.
No.
No.
No?
No.
Oh. Do you know you're like, how old are you?
You know we're 15.
Yeah, how old are you?
21.
You know we're 15.
Cool. Us.
Oh my, we're 15.
She likes me.
You're 21 and you're asking for our snaps. We're 15.
How
old are you? 21? I'm 17.
Yeah, I don't care how old you are.
You're not 17.
Brother, they're young. Walk on, bro. Walk on. They're young girls, brother. Walk on. They're young girls. You're 21, you're asking 15-year-old girls for their snaps. Walk on, bro.
21, my ass.
Yeah.
But also just, yeah, there we have it. Fantastic. Didn't used to be very an English attitude to turn up at schools and ask 15-year-olds for their Snapchats, but is these days. Also, we go to the last one here, just the point, which is that change I showed you, at least in London and the rest of the country in the UK, is, of course, skyrocketing as well. So this is a statement from Migration Watch saying the new Home Office visa statistics suggest that around 1 million people were granted entry to come and live in the UK in the last year or so, a huge rise before the pandemic.
During the pandemic, it was 700,000.
Yeah, so...
So now it's 300,000 more. What are the Conservatives doing?
The Home Office say there's a 57% increase on the previous year and a 33% increase on the year before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's insane.
Take back control. Stop immigration. What do? They massively ramped it up. Embarrassing. Yeah, that's the democratic replacement theory, which is a left-wing theory. And the try and switcheroo to say this is a rightist doctrine is like, no, it's not. Like, we literally have you on camera multiple times saying this is your voting strategy.
This is what Tucker Carlson wants. Anyway. Speaking of conservatives, we need to start talking about what conservatives can do to start getting control of the narrative surrounding mass shootings, because they keep happening in America and the conservatives have no good answer to anything that the left is saying. And the left is constantly on the attack, and the conservatives are the ones who should be on the attack, because I think that these mass shootings are a consequence of the atomization of society that is being caused by left-wing policies. So before we start, this is something I'd like to promote, which is on Lodices.com. It's an amazing premium video that Harry did on how to be a conservative environmentalist. And the reason this ties in is because it is yet another ground that the conservatives have ceded to the left. The left are like, oh, we need renewable energy, we need all this. It's like, okay, maybe. But do the conservatives have any positive thoughts on what we should be doing about the environment, what we should be doing about mass shootings, but blah, 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 whatever it is? Well, the conservatives are just constantly on the retreat.
There are some who talk of nuclear and all the rest of it, and
yes,
actual sensible policies, but then that's not what happens in the manifesto.
No, and it's a tepid and weak way of approaching anything. What they need to be doing is start actually demanding things. We want this. We want that. And so this is where I think we should be going with this as conservatives, talking about this. So let's begin with just an African proverb, right? There's apparently an old African proverb that goes along the lines of, the child who is not embraced by the village will burn it down to feel its warmth. Now, I don't know whether that's a real proverb or not, but it doesn't matter because I think that is true. I think that's why these mass shootings are happening. I think it is particularly young people who are totally disenfranchised, have no love of the communities they're meant to be within, and therefore don't care, feel resentful, and attack them as a means of revenge for being rejected. And I hate to tell you this, but I think that this attack in Texas is actually a really good example of that. I think this really underscores the point. Now, you know, didn't just jump on this the moment it happened because we waited for the information to come out, but it looks like a lot of information has come out that does substantiate this point. So as we begin, who are we talking about? Now, you can hear the great cringe of disappointment from the left when it was turned out the young man was called Salvador Ramos.
I don't know, could still be white.
No, he's not. He's Mexican.
No, I mean, obviously. According to the left.
No, he's Mexican.
No, he could have a MAGA hat and there he'd be white.
He's still Mexican. he went on a shooting on May the 24th, killed 18 children and 3 adults, and was also killed himself by law enforcement. He also shot his grandmother before entering the school, but she didn't die from the wound, thank goodness. And if we go to the next one, CNN have got more detailed profile on him. They say he legally purchased 2 AR-15 rifle, AR platform rifle, sorry. I don't know anything about guns either, but then the CNN. But he purchased them legally.
Fully semi-automatic.
It's a machine gun, Callum. They're illegal, don't worry, it's jokes. But the point is, he bought these guns legally because he didn't have a criminal record and he was entitled to purchase them. And so the main objection is, well, he shouldn't have been able to purchase guns. It's like, well, look, why did he want to kill people? Isn't that more important? Because, and this is going to come as a real shock to Democrats, guns aren't the only thing that people can use to kill each other.
No, there's a lot of new ways.
There are a lot of old ways too, which we'll cover in a minute.
Cars, trucks, knives.
Yes.
There's a lot of new ways that people kill a lot of people.
Yes. And like I said, a lot of old ways too. And so they complain that he had no problem accessing those weapons. It's like, yes. Because I tell you what, if there's one thing that I would like in a civilization that is clearly going down the tubes, is to have all the guns removed, and so I had way fewer options to defend myself. That made me feel better.
But that's why I mentioned the cars and the trucks being a new thing that terrorists use, for example, to get attention. Because that's what this is. You're trying to kill as many people as possible to get attention, right?
Yes.
And this is why I say the cars, because you never get someone saying, after we had the terrorist attacks from the Muslims, running people down in cars and whatnot, well, we need common sense car control.
Well, that'd be nonsense, that's why.
Exactly. But that's
because it's not the problem. It's the issue is the person. And I think that really what they're trying to do is get revenge on the society that has scorned them or disappointed them or failed them in some way. I think that's what this is about. But anyway, see, he began his shooting spree by shooting his grandmother first, but she survived and called the cops. He crashed his vehicle into a ditch near the elementary school, emerged with a rifle and backpack while wearing a tactical vest that held extra ammunition, went into the school through the back door. A school resource officer engaged him, but no shots were fired. He dropped a full bag of ammunition outside of the school during the encounter and ran inside. He then barricaded himself in a classroom and with an adjoining classroom and opened fire at those inside. There were 19 children and 2 teachers who were killed in these rooms, according to the police. And so, who was he then? What was the reason that he would do all this? Like, what? Because the names of the victims are also all Mexican. This is a very Mexican area of Texas, where a Mexican man has walked into a Mexican majority school and shot a bunch of Mexicans. Why has he done this? White supremacy? No, that narrative died swiftly, didn't it? You know. So anyway, they've got some interviews with various people. According to people at the local high school, he lived with his grandparents. He had no friends and no criminal history or no gang affiliation. He worked day shift at local Wendy's and mostly kept to himself, the restaurant's manager confirmed. So he's a total loner. He's on his own. A former classmate of him said he would get severely bullied and made fun of a lot and taunted by others for the clothes he wore and his family's financial situation. People would like actually call him the school shooter and stuff like that. So cruelty from his classmates seems to be one driving motivation, right? He's got no connection to any of the community around him. He's on his own. The people in his peer group seem to hate him and they're openly cruel to him. This is something that conservatives might want to start, I don't know, talking about. Like, the conservative worldview should be based in the relationships we have with one another. If someone has no relationships, and the only way they interact with other people is them being horrible and cruel to them, maybe that's something conservatives might actually want to talk about. The tone and tenor of the way that our society is run, which would also destroy a lot of the left on this, because they're really fucking awful.
I've always wondered.
Horrible.
Like, why on earth? Because, like, you have bullying everywhere, of course. But to be a bully in the United States seems like the silliest thing.
The normalest thing as well.
Well, no, it's just the fact of, like, well, this school shooter actually might be real as yes. well. Like, the joke about it is not just a joke in the United States.
Yeah, it's a cultural pathology in the United States, unfortunately. He had one friend who he'd lost sort of contact with, like, only before this had happened. But apparently they'd sat together through high school and played Xbox, but he stopped attending school regularly and they communicated less and less. And before it happened, though, he sent his classmate a picture of an AR-15, and this guy was like, why do you have to do this? And he's like, don't worry about it. I look very different now. You wouldn't recognize me. So it seems that he set his mind on revenge, frankly. Another person at the high school said he was a very quiet person who hung out by himself. Another one says she knew people didn't like him. People would make fun of him or want to fight him. According to a video obtained by CNN, he had a history of physically fighting with others. A former friend and classmate sent him a video on Snapchat depicting him fighting with someone else, which apparently was not out of the ordinary. So he's totally unsocialized. He's hated by his classmates. He's constantly being physically bullied by them. Honestly, could you, with your hand on your heart, say that if you were in that position, you wouldn't have evil thoughts?
No, of course not.
Exactly. That's the point. This is what the conservatives should be really starting to lay their hand on, saying, hang on a second. There's something wrong in the society itself. We have to have a way of socializing people to love the people that they're around. Because in countries where people love, where the other people around them have genuine sentiment and affection for them, that doesn't happen. And if you're constantly bullied and ostracized by your friends and classmates, how could you ever develop such sentiments? This is what conservatives really need to start thinking about. So just to quickly carry on, it's being alleged that he was transgender. There's no evidence he was transgender. There's a picture of a person who looks like him going around, but the person who that is actually a picture of says, it's not me, I don't even live in Texas. This took my photos and used it to spread misinformation, which seems to be true. It seems that he was also known to the police as the post-millennial report. He would get bullied hard, like bullied by a lot of people over social media, over gaming, over everything. He was the nicest, most shyest kid. He just needed to break out of his shell. A former classmate also said, who was somewhat close, who played Xbox, said that his mother used drugs and contributed to upheaval in the home. Anything about drug use that conservatives want to chime in with here? Seems like he was single mother. Anything that conservatives think they might have to put together on all of this?
This is something Zuby mentioned to me when we were talking about Saudi Arabia. The fact that in the United States, drug use just seems to be a thing, and therefore you have all these mental people. Like, you have serious mental illness problems, and it seems to be the drugs, frankly. Like, you don't get that kind of level elsewhere.
Yeah.
Especially in Arab countries.
The total normalization of doing drugs in America. And I'm not saying that drugs are bad in every case, in all times, in all places. But if someone is regularly using drugs, and she's a single mother of a boy who's being constantly bullied at school, with no friends at all, or basically no friends, like, what do you think's going to happen? Like, what kind of attitude do you think that kid's going to come out with? Do you think he's going to think, oh yeah, I can't wait to get up and go to school today? You know, I can't wait to go to my job at Wendy's? You know, it's like, honestly. And the thing is, it's not like the police don't have a burden to bear here. Apparently they failed to stop him for over an hour. Like, this is mad. If you can go to the next one. This is just a summary by Phil That Remains. Good guy, shout out to him. The shooter went, but he's citing a Daily Mail article, where it's just like the shooter went in the classroom, locked the door. Police left him on the scene for an hour until they got a member of school staff to unlock it with a key. It's like, really? You couldn't have broken that down? Couldn't have shut him through a window? Couldn't have done something?
I don't know the circumstances, but yeah, that seems bad.
It looks terrible, doesn't it? Anyway, moving on, what do you think AOC had to say about this?
No, ban the Second Amendment.
Well, of course.
He's not white, so that's the other thing they go to, isn't it?
Have you not got the AOC link?
But it's just that's always, like, it always seems to be a recipe.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if they're white supremacy. If they're a Syrian, white supremacy somehow.
Well, yeah, exactly. If they're Mexican, white supremacy.
Oh, right. Okay. See, this is what I meant.
Oh, obviously she wants all the guns banned. But obviously she's like, look, I'm committed to the idea that white men are the main killers. It's like, well, this guy wasn't
white. Yeah. She's white.
Yeah, exactly. This guy wasn't a white man. And it's not because of any kind of ideological commitment to white supremacy.
Hang on, wait, yeah, because if he's white as well, according to her, he's also shooting other white people.
Yeah, exactly. It's obvious nonsense. What it is a totally disconnected young man from the civilization in which he finds himself, and he's treated evilly by it. And so he decides to take an evil revenge on it. But I mean, she's like, oh, white supremacists commit the vast majority of domestic terrorism. By far. It's not even close. Look at the numbers. Will Twitter deal with this misinformation that she's putting out? Because we have the numbers. I don't know why she'd say this. We can just go to massshootings.info and see what the statistics are. For example, in 2021, out of 636 mass shootings, and a mass shooting is every person convicted, charged, or wanted in connection with the shooting of 4+ people who died or who died before they could be charged, right? 409 of them, there are no known suspect, because what sort of communities do you think they happened in? Ones that aren't very favourable to the police, maybe, right?
Just get stitches.
But of the remainder, Sasha Johnson, 74% are black, 12% are Latino, 12% are white, and 2% are Asian. She's just lying. She's a total liar, and she's just allowed to get away with it. But anyway, let's move on to the next
I suppose if he's Mexican and he's white, he's part of that 12% as well.
He's not white. He's Latino.
Yeah, of course, but we're in fantasy AOC land. Like, is she going to start demanding that the black guys are also white in this circumstance?
Well, I mean, why wouldn't she? They're fighting to uphold white supremacy or something. But anyway, Larry Elder had a good take on this. He was just like, look, 19 kids, 2 teachers have been killed in a shooting in an elementary school. Does not appear the alleged shooter is a white supremacist. Biden media, post-Buffalo, will definitely switch from angry white man to easy access to guns. Whoa. How did you know, Larry? How did you know? It's just because they do this every single time. And again,
NPC.
Conservatives are just on the defense here. It's like, no, you say break down a family, break down a family, break down a family. You go on the offensive. Single drug addict mother, bullied kid in his society, breakdown of family and social structures. That's what caused this. It's not guns. And we know this, right? Because we've got an account from the past where people actually lived in a goddamn society, right? This is just an old chap on Twitter, right? When my father was a boy, you could buy a machine gun with a license, without a license. If you had enough money, you were big enough to put it on the counter. He was given his first gun at the age of 8. You know how many school shootings we had back then? None. It's the culture, not the guns. It is absolutely the culture. Without a doubt. It's because they don't care about the people around them. They don't have any love for their own communities. That's why the person who commits this does this. The Washington Post, I think it is, will just complain endlessly, go, this is 10 years of failure of gun control. And from the CNN...
Shut up, Bezos.
Yeah, exactly. Shut up, Bezos shills. And from the CNN live feed, apparently in 2022, there have been more days than mass shootings. So unless you want the left to take away your ability to defend yourself, conservatives, you're going to have to spin together a pretty convincing narrative of why this keeps happening. And this is actually quite an instructive lesson, I think. But again, like going back to the Columbine shootings, like it's always the same. It's a disaffected young man who has got no connection to the people that he's attacking, no love of the country that he's in. And the left has done everything they can to make people disenfranchised from the world they live in. And it's just awful. But anyway, let's go forward. Biden gave a speech on this in which, of course, he was just like, yeah.
Guns.
Republicans and their guns did this. Thanks. For some reason, Zelensky decided to chime in. It's like, really, Zelensky, don't you have something more important to do? No more pressing issue?
Yes, Biden, ban those guns and then give them to us. Yeah. I mean, presumably that's the argument.
Yeah. The Spanish Prime Minister said, oh, this everyday horror must stop in the US. So, well, how's that going to happen?
Oh, shut up, Spaniard.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. We're not taking any lectures from anyone on the Axis.
Yeah. And yeah. Obama, though, was like, Michelle and I grieve the families in Uvalde who are experiencing pain no one should have to bear. We're also angry for them. Nearly 10 years after Sandy Hook and 10 days after Buffalo, our country is paralyzed, not by fear, but by a gun lobby and political party that show no willingness to act in any way that might help prevent these tragedies. So look, it's not just like the guns. You know, the guns aren't the things that are picking themselves up. I hate to say it, it's such a tired narrative, but it's not the gun problem. Because, I mean, like, it's not like the rest of the world doesn't have guns. I don't know why Obama thinks, oh, well, the guns just exist in America and nowhere else. If we go to the next one, you can see gun ownership per capita. Now, I'm not denying that America has more guns per capita, because America does have a very, very vibrant gun culture. But if you can go down to the list...
Also, you can look at that state there, where you just have, like, oh, New York, massive gun crime, and it has the least guns in America.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, in fact, go back to that. Yeah. California and New York How do you think the gun crime matches up in there with gun ownership? You know, it's mad. How is it in the Midwest? Where, look at that dark blue bit. What's that in there? Oh, Republicans.
The Joe Biden sniffing state over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Endless gun crime, I hear.
Anyway, if you go down to the list, right, you can see there are loads of countries where, like, they have loads of guns, and yet they don't still have these problems. You know, Canada's got 34 guns per 100 people. That's literally millions of guns. Literally something like 2 million Canadians own guns.
Makes you proud.
Yes, it does. But they're not shooting each other. Why? Because they don't allow this kind of extreme bullying. They're not, well, I mean, they're probably getting there actually at this point because they're becoming more and more leftist. But anyway, just to cap this off, and of course, even if you banned guns, you think that's going to just prevent
the end of violence, really?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. No one drives cars.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, no one knows how to make bombs. I mean, the worst massacre that ever happened in America was the Bath School Massacre in 1927.
I heard of this one.
No. Guy called Andrew Cahoe was the school board treasurer, was angered by increased taxes and his defeat in the election for township clerk. And so,
hang on, is this literally they tried to tax me? That was his motive.
I think the defeat in the election is probably more.
Okay.
He seems to have planned his murderous revenge after
that. I was going to say,
defeat.
I don't think the school's responsible for that one.
No, it seems to be a defeat. But he made a bomb, put it in the school, killed 38 children, 6 adults, and injured 58 other people.
Suicide truck bomb.
He'd also murdered his wife prior to it as well.
Tried to make me pay taxes.
Anyway, did it stop the Waukesha Christmas parade massacre?
No. Also, nope. A new tactic that he presumably learnt from looking at Europe.
From ISIS?
Yep.
Black nationalist plows into a parade of white people because he hates white people.
Biden didn't go to that one.
Nope.
Didn't give a speech there.
Nope. Didn't mention it. And of course, if you go to Britain, where we have 4 guns per 100 people, we get lots of terrorism.
Yeah.
Such as the 2018 Westminster car attack, the Manchester Victoria stabbing,
You should probably mention a little bit as well. Like, they drive the car into the people, then get out with their knives.
Yeah,
well,
and then stab people, yeah.
Yeah.
So more people are dead. The London Bridge stabbing in 2019.
Particularly horrible because they drive a van on a bridge, which means you literally can't get off without jumping into the river. And then, like, 3 guys got out with their machetes and just started chopping people up.
Yep.
And there's no response for ages because no one has any guns.
Yep.
The SAS have to be called.
Yes. The Streatham stabbing that happened recently, and Reading stabbings as well. These are just some of the things. I mean, I could have gone on, but I didn't.
You're just lucky in these cases, because this one, he just gave himself up after killing all the gay people.
He stabbed 3 gay people in a park, because you need guns to kill people, Callum. But anyway, the point being is that all of these people are attempting to take some kind of revenge on a society that they feel has failed them. Now, when it comes to the Islamists, I don't agree with them, and I don't think they should be in this country. But when it comes to a Mexican teenager who is in a Mexican community in Texas and is bullied and totally ostracized, I can't help but feel it's not really his fault that he has at least, you know, got this very, very bitter attitude to the world. Now, of course, him going and shooting is obviously his fault. But the point is, conservatives need to start identifying that it is this social breakdown that is causing the spate of mass murders in America, in my opinion.
Go to the video comments.
So, Carl, here I am. I've traveled from Ohio to New Delhi to London to Swindon. I've drank in your staff under the table, poisoned them with my Copenhagen, and you're nowhere to be found. How can this be? The next time I visit your country, you better be here.
It's because you're swinging the chair. You'll be disciplined and not swing the chair.
That is a rule.
When did he come in?
It was a little while back. We went to Spoon's. The lads drank whiskey, and then he gave us what's it called? Dip. So you put it in your like that.
Yeah.
And then you just have it in your mouth, and you keep spitting out the
tobacco.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yes.
Awful.
I can imagine.
I don't know why people do it. He said he took it up because he was a Marine, and you're on duty, and you're bored.
Yeah.
Keeps you awake.
You don't want a cigarette because it's light.
Yeah, but it also keeps you awake because you're constantly spitting, so at least you're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I have no idea what the purpose is, but I can see how they all got those accents.
Right, okay.
Go the next one.
Hey, Carl, question. What's your opinion on the idea of art influencing life versus life influencing art? I don't know. It's something I don't hear people talk about anymore, and
I think there's a symbiotic relationship there. I think people do indeed make art that represents life. That's the purpose of it. But then I think that the message contained within the art influences the way people consider reality, which influences the decisions they make, which I think influences course of events.
You're going to share your theory on how he'd become a great artist?
I could do if you want.
Becoming, basically, having a terrible childhood?
Yeah. If you weren't molested as a child, then you're not going to be a great artist.
Basically, you have to live through suffering.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, exactly.
Be able to represent but suffering.
You have to have gone through great suffering in order to become a great artist, because I think there are, the left will argue there's this epistemological validity to that, saying, well,
you could have gone through Soviet Union or...
Yeah, exactly. That the oppressed have a special insight into the human condition. And it's not the entire story, but I think there is some truth to the aspect that, look, you kind of got to go through a certain series of events to really understand what it's like to go through that series of events. So it's not that you have a comprehensive knowledge of the human condition, but you've got a very deep knowledge of one aspect of the human condition. And as Mega convincingly argued, well, a lot of English artists make really happy art. It's like, well, I guess we were just a really happy place, weren't we? Back in the past. Can't produce that anymore.
Yeah, next one.
Have you tried subverting my expectations by making something good? Like, everything you produce is sh**. Every new thing is sh**.
CSCooper.com.au. I don't know what to say.
And I gave you your favourite meme on this show.
Okay, that's my favourite meme.
Yeah.
You know, I'm feeling really bloody unappreciated right now.
When I said you, I meant Hollywood. When you're in Hollywood, I'll be like, look, everything that comes out of Hollywood is S, apart from Craig Cooper stuff. Okay? I was obviously talking about Hollywood.
Yeah, next one.
Kellum, you asked why they didn't include in the TV series the black character from the Halo games. The answer is because Sergeant Johnson is a paragon of masculinity. He's a gruff veteran Marine Sergeant Major with a stoic attitude to danger, a love for weapons and using violence to solve problems, and a bombastic attitude with badass speeches. The higher the difficulty setting of the game, the more epic his speeches become. And my favorite is when the female AI thanks him for providing a tank to take on an enemy behemoth, and he responds as follows.
Oh, I know what the ladies like.
That is 100% correct.
That's a great answer, yeah, as well. We can't put this guy in. Why not? He's black. Yeah, but he's awesome. It's like, that's the way they think.
Yeah.
That's the way they think.
Too good for leftist media, frankly. Yeah. Let's go to the next one.
Mr. Craig Cooper has set up a lovely Instagram account to promote his works and has even uploaded one of my book reviews. We'll see if he uploads any others. Wokery warning, however, sample text from his forthcoming novel indicates that he's sticking to the gender binary in a move that could limit sales.
Oof. What about the wider audience, Craig? You need to get the young, diverse people on board.
Whatever. Okay, let's get the next one.
Just noticed that we've got Mr. Mook and Mr. Sussman. I mean, you couldn't make this up.
Mr. Mook testified as a witness in special counsel John Durham's trial of Michael Sussman. Mr. Suss, the lawyer accused of lying to the FBI.
So Clinton's campaign manager was named Mr. Mook, and her lawyer was named Mr. Sussman. Next, you'll tell me that her priest was named Will Schill. Oh,
what?
Magic is real.
What are the odds?
It's like she's trying to tell us endlessly, just like, please get me caught.
What are the odds? Yeah.
Mr. Suss, though, turned out to be a good guy and told us all about all the bad deeds. The next one.
You'd have to come up with something when you go on to the doctor and you go, I feel terrible, Doc. And he goes, well, I'm not surprised. You're the first human to contract
monkeypox.
How would I got that?
You were f***ing a chimp up.
How else could I have caught it? I don't know. You could have been chopping up chimp meat and cut your finger. That one. I bet he went straight out into the jungle and found that chimp. Went,
you f***ing gave me monkeypox.
From eating monkeys. I don't eat monkeys. You're either eating them or f***ing them. I was eating them.
I love Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
All the stuff is gold. The next one.
Tony D and Little Joan with another Legend of the Pines. From dailyoddsandends.wordpress.com comes the story of Absecon Island, just across the Absecon Inlet from Atlantic City. This was an area where pirates operated in the 1700s. As many as 1,500 pirates were operating in this area. Some of them would try to lure boats to their doom and raid the ships when they ran aground. They say the treasure is buried somewhere on one of these islands, if you can find it.
Oh, I bet that's true.
Are we going to go try and find it?
Probably not today, but like maybe at some point.
Little Joan and whatnot can go sniff it out.
Looks like a good area for pirates, though, doesn't it? Yeah.
No.
Got lots of good hidey, got lots of hidey places.
Is that good? I feel like you just get trapped. Like, how many exits are there?
Loads. You could literally just, like, you know, sail around and then back out when they're chasing you around.
All right.
That looks excellent for pirates. What are you talking about? I've often thought about setting up a pirate cove. I don't know.
Is that a dream of yours? You always wanted to be a pirate?
Well, I mean, maybe one day.
Yeah. We were looking at a segment earlier, me and Josh, and there's some new guidance on what to call non-binary or students in a school, because you can't call them boys and girls, because that's wrong.
Oh, yeah.
One of the suggestions was crew, and quite frankly, that does sound like it would make some young boys and girls have some great ideas for their future.
Come on, crew, we're going to Somalia.
Yeah. So, I don't know, if there's any teachers in the audience and you're looking for a pirate cove, there you are. We'll go to the
George says, the Depp versus Heard trial is a prime example of gynocentrism. One of the most prominent actors in the world lost his entire career solely on the word of a woman, written by the ACLU. Now, despite his wealth, charisma, and all the facts being in his favour, and being against one woman who can't cry on demand, I'd still say the chance of a win for Depp are 50-50. Now imagine a regular guy going through family courts. Depp. Yeah, but I do think, to the credit of the normal women in general, that's why they hate Amber Heard. Because she's so obviously lying about this.
But it's also, as you say, we give a special consideration because usually it's women who are rape victims and blah, 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 blah. This is the argument that's made.
Yeah.
So then to betray that ability to even deal with the situation, I mean, you're throwing every other woman under the bus.
To so obviously be lying about it as well. Yeah, exactly. You're throwing every other woman under the bus so they can see that what she's doing is an injustice. And so it's nice that literally everyone is against Amber Heard. Omar says, Amber Heard lies like a child that grew up in the movie The Invention of Lying and thinks everyone believes what she says uncritically. She's so insanely obvious, I wonder if she actually has mental difficulties. Well, this is the thing. When you've had this life of, like, extreme female privilege, which Amber Heard has definitely had, you think that you can do anything. You think that this is the way the system is meant to work. And, you know, the internet disagrees, thankfully. General Hai Ping says, a tale as old as time. If you're going to lie, make sure you're intelligent enough to at least remember the lies you've told, never to expect others to uphold your lie forever. Also, don't admit that you beat the person you claim beat you. Like, while having no proof that they beat you. Just saying.
It's just like, also, just don't beat people.
Yeah, also don't do that. Sophie says, funny how we all knew from the start this was what the Me Too movement was going to be when it was Hollywood. When it was in Hollywood. Privileged, spoiled women wielding this power to gain fortune, movie roles, and relevance, while using actual abused people as their shield and gaslighting the public. And if you pointed that out, you were called a misogynist. Well, how did that turn out? It's nail on the head. It's exactly what the danger... And literally, you go back a couple of years, and everyone was... In 2018 or whatever it was, everyone was like, look, this is going to be used to abuse someone. And suddenly, here we have the prime example. Generico says, domestic violence is a crime that men commit against women. When women do it, we just don't call it domestic violence, so it isn't. Which is basically Amber Heard's position. It's exactly what she was arguing. When she was like, no one's going to believe you, Johnny. Get effed. Bald Eagle says, watching the death of the Me Too movement is amazing. I also hope this starts a cultural shift towards men being believed when they're abused in many forms and starts to erode the stigma that men are always the perpetrator in domestic violence. I also saw the former TMZ employee yesterday confirm that an agency whose sole existence is publishing hit pieces has more journalistic integrity by confirming their sources than the mainstream media. So yeah, it's quite remarkable, but I think they do it just to avoid being sued, to be honest. It's not. I don't think they're doing it out of high-minded principles. But I tell you, the guy's testimony was really, really good. And the way the questioner approached it was excellent as well. Because he was just like, yeah, so this is how we get it. Here's the procedure. How do you get the copyright? Well, here's how we get the copyright. It's like, right, so you must have found that from Amber Heard herself then. She didn't say it, but it didn't need to be said. It was just so crystal clear. Rose says, believe all women, really, all of them. That's the dumbest thing I've ever Amber Heard. Also, I can't emphasize this enough. Don't date crazy. Amber Heard strikes me as a legitimate pathological liar. She also strikes me as the sort of person who gets off on being in emotionally difficult relationships as a form of controlling the other person. She seems to be demonstrate those characteristics. Callum says, Amber Heard forgot who she was messing with. Captain Jack Sparrow.
The day you will always remember. You almost got.
You're the worst domestic violence survivor I've ever heard of. But you have heard of me. Charlie says, regarding Amber Heard, I love how her hitting Johnny Depp is the closest she'll ever get to a Hollywood hit. Longshanks.
That's good.
She has recently been removed from the Aquaman film as well.
Yeah.
Because the trial is going so badly for her, they were like, yeah, okay, it's got to go. And Johnny Depp's being used again by Disney on their Pirates of the Caribbean merchandise. Isn't that interesting?
Because he said he'd never work with them again.
Yeah, but they took all of his imagery off when this began. And this has gone so badly for Heard, and she's so obviously the villain, that they've put it back again, and she's been cancelled from Aquaman.
Imagine what's going to happen if the jury are a bunch of feminists and side with her. I mean, because everyone knows what really happened.
Yeah, everyone can see it.
So
there's lots of video evidence, lots of audio clips, her own admissions.
Does Aquaman get released with her
lots
in again?
Lots of statements of character, but everyone who knows Johnny Depp, like, I mean, who knows? I can imagine, though, they'd be looking and going, okay, public relations issue there. But anyway, Longshank says, a large part of the contempt for Heard isn't just that she abused Johnny and lied about it, but in the early weeks coming to the public, she was framing herself as the victim, and many, many people took her side automatically. Well, a lot of feminists did, Me Too and whatnot. I think a lot of people regret being conned by her and have gone above and beyond in their support of Johnny to try and make up for this. Quite possible.
A silly host on GB News. It was like, oh, she's being framed as someone who's mentally ill. This is a tactic for abusing women. She's actually very innocent.
Thanks, Christian Bale.
It's just GB News doing that.
Yeah, American Psycho there. What
weird feminist.
This is mental. Christian Anderson says, Kate Moss testified yesterday and made Johnny Depp look like a hero and a gentleman. Well, that's only because he saved her after falling down the stairs.
She should have added some other stuff in, like he whispered to her, like, I'll always be there for you.
Well, she can't lie. She can't lie under oath, can she?
Why not?
What do you mean, why not? Because that's...
Yeah, I know.
She'll get herself in trouble.
What are they going to say? It's wrong? Like, there are only two people there.
That's true, but Johnny Depp might say something that contradicted her story.
Yeah, don't actually do it.
Yeah. But, I mean, she didn't need to.
There's a dramatic retelling where someone animates this. This is what I want to see, you know?
Amber Heard beat Johnny up because he pushed me down the stairs. Well, actually, he didn't push me down the stairs and he saved me like a hero.
Just before he came down, he hit the CD player and it said, you're my hero, baby. Start playing.
Supreme Duck says, I'm looking forward to the day where media is not weaponizing skin color and preferences. Yeah, I know.
You're going to be waiting a long time.
Honestly, I swear to God, man, it was like that in the 90s. You just didn't talk about someone's race. This wasn't a polite thing to talk about.
In big like court cases, surely. I mean, like OJ, remember?
Well, in America,
everyone's like,
maybe.
He couldn't have done it. He's black. And he's like, what?
Yeah, in America. But you didn't open the fucking news every day. Shouldn't have sworn, sorry. And, you know, see white people bad, black people good. You just didn't hear black this, white
bad. World.
It wasn't like that. And that's why it's so gross that they do it. Brandon says, Democrats in the 1800s, we want a lot of white people because they'll vote for us. Democrats in the 2020s, we want a lot of non-white people because they'll vote for us. Republicans, why are you like this?
Why can't you be normal for five minutes?
It's just Democrats screeching about race. But they've always been the party of race.
Yep.
They've always been the party of race. And the Republicans have always been like, look, that's not what we're interested in. And the Democrats are like, you're racist.
Never had a race theory. We never had a Jim Crow law.
never supported slaves. No. racial slavery. All these poor Republicans are just being called Nazis and KKK now. It's just like, what are you talking about? Anyway, Edward says, today in the news, Amber Heard gaslights Johnny Depp, manipulating him to look like the villain. Democrats gaslight Republicans, attempting to make those who call out their policy the villain. The media gaslights the public, attempting to make freedoms that have existed since the founding of their nation the villain. I agree, it looks like there is something seriously broken with the current culture to allow this. And if I trusted them to restore it, a temporary restriction on the right to bear arms as a preventative measure, while that is mended, would make sense. But I don't trust the government to give back any freedom they take away these days. That's because they're not going to. They're not trustworthy in any way, shape, or form. Free Will says, is it possible that we are too far down the road of change, given that all of our politicians seem to be on board to stop the trend? If we are to effect real change on a number of issues, there needs to be a new political movement, not reliant on the compromised globalists, who masquerade as the Conservative Party, who simply pull the wool over their supporters' eyes all the time. And I think that goes for the Conservatives with their immigration levels.
So in the UK, I think they're probably right. With Trump and DeSantis, there's actually something there that I think is valuable. Yeah. With the UK, I watched Mark Stein yesterday on GB News talk about this, and he made the great point, which was just like, you know, all these idiots talking about Partygate still.
Yeah.
Like, it only matters if Boris Johnson matters,
yeah.
And he's not doing anything. Like, everything's still the same era of the Blairism, so who cares?
And again, like, Boris can escape this at any point by doing something radical that will cause them to freak out.
The simplest things could solve that party and their problems and actually make them popular, but they don't want to. Okay, fine. Well, then that's your problem.
It's wild, isn't it?
Yeah, he is correct.
You will continue to be... Like, I saw that someone on Twitter had asked you, have you guys got an editorial reason for not covering Partygate? No, it's just really dull.
Don't care.
Yeah, I just don't give a damn, you know? We covered it, like, once, like, 3 months ago or something, in one segment. It's like, look, this is what they're doing.
Because it was the end of Boris Johnson as a character. Like, he has been nothing since.
Yeah.
Like, he's just been another suit man. It's just like...
He's been stood there being punched in the face by the media, saying, resign, because you had a party. Resign because you let a million immigrants in. How about that? You know?
Yep.
Well, honestly. Anyway, Adam says, Democrats, whites are going to be replaced, and here's why that's a good thing. Tucker Carlson, they're replacing you, and they're telling you that they're replacing you. They hate you, and they don't care that you know it. Democrats, why is Tucker Carlson allowed to platform a platform to spread this obvious conspiracy theory? I know, it's incredible. And the thing is, if it would be so much worse if they hadn't constantly been going on about it for years.
Well, that's the thing. It's such a stupid narrative for them to be like, this is right wing. It's like, no, it's your voting tactics.
We've got you all on video saying demographics is destiny. We're going to win because the demographics are going to change. It's like, okay, so you're the great replacement theorists and everyone else thinks that's wrong?
We're trying to stop the great replacement theorists, the critical race theorists. Like, you guys just keep doing this crap.
You want this. What?
Why would...
Okay, well, if the great replacement is ours, we're going to stop great replacing then, okay? You're right, it was bad. You're right, Democrats, it was bad to be pro-great replacement. We'll be anti-great replacement. S.H. Silver says, it's a conspiracy and you're a crazy bigot, unless it's too obvious to ignore, at which point it's a good thing, you bigot. Yeah, that's exactly what it is, isn't it? When it becomes too obvious to ignore, then it's a good thing. Funny, though, Texas is moving more red because the migrants that settled there already do not like mass immigration making their lives worse. And they're probably looking at Biden's regime and being like, yeah, okay, that guy is not the guy. You know, these guys have effed up the country. Can't have this. Anyway, let's go on to the comments that haven't come up. I don't know what's going on with my bloody nose.
So Ignacio something says, so this incident is a long chain of cruelty by Piers and his mother and incompetence by the police and teachers at every step.
Yes.
If he didn't have access to guns, he would have crafted an IED, rammed a car into a crowd, or stabbed the children.
Yeah. Yep. Made a bomb, something like that. He would have done something to enact this kind of revenge. The trick is to make it that people don't want to take revenge on their own society. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but conservatives, you really got to start thinking about this.
I mean, it is the best one with the United States, as you mentioned. Like, the United States has a long history of having all kinds of bloody guns. And it's not like having a gun that has 30 bullets in is some kind of new invention of the 2010s.
No.
No idea. We're all still using, like, the fire one.
There are pictures from, like, 50 years ago of kids taking their rifles to school and doing rifle practice. You know, what's the difference? They weren't all, like, ostracized and atomized and told, you know, bullied and things like this. It obviously was a different time.
So Sophie says, well, young boys are being told you're wrong for being male. You're wrong for having a thing you pursue with your passion, such as sport or art. Turning male energy into something constructive is wrong because we need more women. We can't have any good male role models in real life or in fiction teaching young boys and males these higher standards. What do you think was going to happen? Have good male role models and encourage boys to pursue dreams and put their energies into something that feels meaningful to them rather than, well, nothing.
And that's the thing, it's deeply perverse that this is allowed to be done. Like, how is it that none of the adults in the school, like, you know, I mean, he must have complained to a principal or something like that he's being bullied. You know, how can it be that the adults just like, well, you know, it's survival of the fittest, kid, you know? Like, what? You know, like, what could they have been saying?
I'm the fittest.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it's like, well, you just have to deal with it.
Yeah, no, there's no way that happened.
Yeah. Like, what? Like...
Fuck. Callum Dayton says, children are the cruelest beings in my experience. I was bullied myself at school, and I have a deep loathing for those who made my life miserable. But I never go as far as murder, maiming, or doing anything like that, because I'm better than them.
But I bet you had your dad in your life, right? I bet your mum wasn't a drug addict, right?
But I can understand the feelings very well because of bullying, missed 2 years of education because of it, and honestly, I don't like school kids or children at all because of this.
Yeah, they can indeed be incredibly cruel because they have trouble empathizing properly with themselves, with each other. but I've got them up now. Robert says, regarding mass shootings in America, you are correct, Carl. We need to ask the why question rather than just the how question. The fact that a large proportion of America's youth are being medicated with mind-altering pharmaceuticals has to be a factor in all of this. That's another thing as well. The druggings of young boys as well. It's like, this is just such the worst way to solve any problem. Harry says, gun grabbers either forget or ignore that criminals don't follow the law. Yeah, there's another argument. But I mean, I'm tired of these stock Republican arguments where it's like, they are right. You know, I mean, it's not like they can't get illegal guns in America across the Mexican border. Like, it'd be unbelievably easy. But even if they couldn't get guns, it doesn't matter. They'll find some other method. But even then, that doesn't change the fact that you've got a constituency of people who actively just want to mass murder.
Yeah,
also that's the problem.
Just to hell with all of this stupid argument about the guns. Like, it's not. No, America is built on the idea we can rebel if the government comes tyrannical. End of. It's just not a conversation that's going to be happening. And it shouldn't be a conversation that's happening, you know, Switzerland or the UK or Canada either. But we got rid of them because, oh, mass shooting, everyone loses all their rights.
Yeah. That's not how it works. What it is you don't want people who feel disconnected from their own civilization, especially at such young ages.
But also just think of London Bridge, like if the public were able to have guns as they did.
Well, that wouldn't have happened.
Because there's this wonderful story from Peter Hitchens where he says the gun laws in the 1950s in the UK were actually so good they made Texas look effeminate. So there was a story he tells of some British bobbies turned up to a London bank robbery, and the bank robbers had some rifles. They started shooting, and the cops didn't bring any guns. So they had to ask passers-by for pistols and rifles.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard that.
Dealt with it and then gave them back.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and, you know, we never had the same problems in the same way America did, so it's culture.
People connected to their civilization. Brandon says, high-powered rifles and machine guns have been around for over 100 years, but mass shootings are a common thing in the last 10 years. Yeah, it's a cultural issue. The fact that the media makes such a big deal out of each one is a real problem.
Specific ones.
Well, specific ones.
75% don't really get mentioned.
That's true. But the fact that they highlight young white men doing them, especially, shows, and you saw this with the Buffalo shooter, he obviously wanted attention. And it's like, okay, but he knows you're going to talk about him nonstop now. It's like, so you're giving him a platform if he only goes and shoots up a bunch of whoever. You know, just a bunch of innocent people. Elizabeth says, as a Texan, I appreciate them not jumping to gun control. Tragedies happen, but we can't see the future. We need to change the culture because I'm a licensed bridge engineer, but haven't been able to find work for 8 months. I started feeling disenfranchised too, but my thoughts have turned out to living on our cattle farm full time and starting a homestead with my fiance. Yeah, this culture is the problem. Andrew says, absolute evil. I can't fathom how one could kill elementary school kids. The decline of objective morality in Western culture has damned us all. Yeah, it is absolutely evil. But I don't think it's inevitable evil. That's the thing. I don't think it's inevitable that this kid turned out to become a murderer on his 18th birthday. I just don't think that had to happen.
Anyway, we're out of time, so if you'd like more from us, go over
I was going to read Maureen's statement one out, but fine.
If there's a good one, go ahead.
Well, I haven't read it yet, but Maureen says, the whole idea of somebody sending their thoughts and prayers nowadays is a way to notify others that they've been informed of what happened and they're ready to move on. It is a lack of action. Biden, of course, used the Uvalde school shooting to lobby against gun ownership. The right to keep and bear arms has been a part of the U.S. for a long time, since the beginning. since the English colonies.
100% of the time, actually.
Yeah. And school shootings are, in comparison, only a very recent phenomenon. There's something very wrong with modern adolescence of the United States. Exactly. Exactly the point.
But if you want more from us, lotuseaters.com, as I said. And please just subscribe to keep everything floating. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.